Hallelujah! Hey there, podcast friends. Welcome to Wisdom from Above. The goal of Wisdom from Above is to go beyond the reading of man to the revelation of God. God reveals himself generally through his creation, supernaturally through his son Jesus, and specifically through his holy word, the Bible. We are in season 10 of Wisdom from Above, which is a series of how-tos and practical truths. Today, we're going to look at a very practical truth, how to handle waiting. One of the most difficult assignments that God gives to us is the assignment to wait. Waiting can be discouraging. Waiting can be exhausting. Waiting on your husband to change. Waiting on your wife to change. Waiting on a wayward child to return. Waiting on a broken relationship to be restored. Waiting for relief from pain or the diagnosis of a problem. Waiting for surgery to be scheduled. Waiting for an illness to end. Waiting on a job or a promotion or an increase in pay. Waiting for wrongs to be righted, lies to be admitted, truth to prevail. Waiting for a loved one to trust in Christ. Waiting for a wayward believer to turn back to Christ. Waiting for wisdom and direction for a major decision. It's hard to wait on people, and it's hard to wait on things, and it's even harder to wait on God. Waiting for God to do something about the injustice. Waiting for God to do something about the gut-wrenching problem. Waiting on God to provide the finances needed to get out of debt or to make a purchase. Waiting on God to answer a prayer. You see, what we want now. We don't want to wait. We don't like to wait at a red light. We don't like to wait in a line. We don't even like to miss one series of a revolving door. We don't like to wait for our computers to pull up on a website. We're used to instant meals, instant cash, instant connections, instant information. My friend Darlene asked her 5-year-old son, "Would you like a ice cream sundae?" His response was instant. "I want an ice cream today." He didn't want to wait. The outstanding characteristics of the great New England preacher Philip Brooks were poise and imperturbability. His intimate friends, however, knew that at times he suffered moments of frustration and irritability, as we all do. One day a friend saw him pacing the floor like a caged lion. "What's the trouble, Dr. Brooks?" asked the friend. "The trouble is that I'm in a hurry, but God isn't." Have you been there? When my dad's mom died, I was given her Bible. I knew she loved the Lord, and so I was excited to see what she had written in her Bible. I was thumbing through its pages when I noticed some writing on Psalm 37:23. Psalm 37:23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." In the margin, my grandmother had written these 4 words, "and the stops too." Huh. The stops of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That is absolutely right. Sometimes God asks us to stop, to rest, to cease striving, and to wait. In fact, in this same psalm, we are commanded to wait on the Lord. Psalm 37 highlights this concept of waiting on the Lord, and we're going to focus for a moment on verse 7. But first, let's get a flyover. Let's get a bird's eye view of verses 1 through 8. And notice the commands found in these 8 verses. Verses 1 and 2. Do not fret. Fret has the idea of your mind being in turmoil, in your stomach in knots. Fretting is manifest as stewing and agonizing, chafing, brooding, and worrying. picture a rope that is fraying or a flag that is tattering. Verse 3 says, trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, feed on his faithfulness. Verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord. Verses 5 and 6, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him. Verse 7, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him, do not wait. Verse 8, cease from anger, forsake wrath, do not fret. So three times over in these eight verses, we see, do not fret. Let's look one more time at verse 7, though. The Bible tells us what to do. Wait. God commands us to wait. What is the real meaning of wait? Well, wait means to patiently hope, to eagerly expect, to steadfastly continue, or to fully trust. Psalm 27:14 says, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. So what are we to do? Wait. How are we to do it? The Bible tells us, wait patiently. To wait patiently means to continue to wait and continue to wait and continue to wait. It also means we are continuing to trust and continuing to hope and continuing to believe. To wait is to keep on keeping on. We keep on waiting by studying the Word. We keep on waiting by praying. We keep on waiting by abiding in Christ and in His Word. We keep on waiting by remaining obedient to whatever God is asking us to do. Psalm 25:4 and 5 says, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Are you willing to wait all day, all week, all month, all year, all the time it takes until God brings about the answer? What are we to do? Wait. How are we to do it? We're to wait patiently. Who are we to wait on? Well, verse 7 says, wait patiently for him, for the Lord. As Psalm 62:5 says, my soul, wait silently for God alone, for my hope is in him. Psalm 130 verse 5, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I do hope. J.D. Spencer gives an encouraging picture of the concept of waiting. Waiting on the Lord is an eloquent expression of devotion. The very strength of the Almighty is available to those who wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord have an unfair advantage because God is on their side. Wait has a very deep meaning of the weaker wrapping itself around the stronger. A better understanding of the word wait may be explained as a vine entwining itself around a huge tree, able to obtain the strength of the tree so that they may stand as one. The impending storm may come and blow against that tree, but after the storm, the vine finds that it not only survived the storm, but it has wrapped itself even tighter around the tree of life. We need to wrap ourselves around God, trusting in him, resting in him. Let's think of a few examples from the Bible of people who were called by God for some task, but they found themselves facing a delay. There's Abraham. His calling was to be the father of many. Ultimately, it would be Isaac and Jacob. But he had to wait 25 years 25 years before Isaac was born. In the meantime, he tried to do some things his way, but he learned it's best to do things God's way, and he learned about God's faithfulness because God gave him his son Isaac. Joseph was going to be a ruler, but he had to wait 10 years as a slave and a prisoner. And his lessons? He recognized the sovereignty of God, that even though his brothers could mean something for evil, God meant it for good, and God is sovereign. Then there's Moses, who was called to lead the people of Israel out of bondage in Egypt. But he spent the next 40 years in the desert, shepherding sheep. And the lessons he learned were humility and patience and the art of shepherding. Hannah wanted to be a mother, waited 7 years barren and praying, but she learned about God's power and God's care. David was anointed to be king of Israel, but spent the next 15 years running and hiding. And he learned trust, and he learned about true friends. Elijah, the prophet to Ahab, delayed 3 years hiding and resting, but learning about God's care and sovereignty. Jesus came to earth to be the Savior, spent 30 years in silent carpentry. And the lessons were God's timing in his time. In his time, Paul, called to be an apostle, spent the next 3 years in the Arabian desert learning God's word. He spent 2 years in Roman prison, learning a little bit about God's purpose and writing God's people. John the Apostle, 2 years exiled to Patmos, but receiving God's revelation of things to come. The good man is willing to wait on the Lord. Psalm 37 goes on to tell us some of the benefits of waiting. In verse 23, he will guide you. The Lord will guide you and delight in your way. Verse 24, the Lord will uphold you even if you fall. Verse 34, the Lord will honor you and you will inherit the land. In Psalm 41-3, we learn that the Lord will hear your prayers and impact the life of others. Listen to what the psalmist says. I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. He waited, and others came to Christ, came to God. Isaiah 40, 28-31 is a great passage that talks about waiting and the benefits of it, that you'll renew your strength, that you'll be able to keep on. Here's how he puts it. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wow, what an awesome promise. You know, I know it is difficult to wait on God, but it is critical that we learn to do so. We all face delays and disappointments, but delays are not necessarily denials, and disappointments are often his appointments. Granted, there are times when bad things happen to good people, because we live in a Satan-twisted, sin-cursed world. But God can bring good out of bad and triumph out of tragedy. Joseph waited on the Lord, And ultimately, he was able to say to those who betrayed him, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." God can work all things together for good to those who love him. Therefore, we don't need to throw up our hands in despair. We should not grow weary in doing what is right, for in due season we will reap. We need to look to God and trust in God and wait on God. When you're waiting, you can say to yourself, "I'm waiting because, one, the Lord is with me. He'll never leave me or forsake me. Two, the Lord cares for me. I can cast my cares on him. Three, the Lord is my strength. He's my shield and my strength. Four, the Lord has a purpose. He'll work this out for my good and for his glory. And five, the Lord's time is the best time." God is wise enough to know what is best. God is loving enough to want what is best. And God is powerful enough to do what is best. We can pray with the songwriter. In your time, in your time, you do all things beautiful in your time. Lord, please show me every day, as you're teaching me your way, that you do just what you say in your time. Help me to wait patiently for the Lord. Well, my friends, that is a wrap on this episode of Wisdom from Above. I'm grateful that you're making this podcast a part of your weekly listening routine. I heard again just this week from someone who was telling other people about my podcast, Wisdom from Above. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for those of you out there who are telling others about Wisdom from Above and encouraging them to listen to it. This is Dr. Harlan Betts, wishing you a great week and God's blessings. I'm honored that you're joining me in this passionate quest for wisdom from above.